Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you up until 6 o'clock tonight. And we have in studio right now a gentleman that we have seen out and about, but this is the first time we've ever talked to Greg Willie of the Friendship APL here in studio. How are you, my friend?
I am doing very well. It's been a hectic day already. So we had 27 adoptions so far today.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really exciting 11 dogs, 16 cats already found homes, and it's been one busy, busy day. We had, I think, 30 kids out as well from one of the children's groups today. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of running around.
Yeah, no kidding, you guys have been busy. What's the average? I'm just curious. 27 dogs or 27 adoptions. You mentioned the numbers there with the dogs and the cats. What's your average? I mean, is that a big total for a day?
Oh, yeah. It's a really,
All right.
It's a really big total for a day. We do really well. Our spay and neuter takes place on Monday. So all the new dogs, puppies, cats, and kittens become available on Tuesday. So we could have a line out the door by the time we open up in the morning at 11 o'clock. So it's crazy. We have all these people come pouring in to get these new animals that are for adoption.
Well, that's funny. So some people are like, oh, Mondays are always hectic at the office. For you guys, it's Tuesdays with everything going on, huh?
Well, Mondays are very, very
all right, never mind.
Well, yeah. Because we are getting 50 to 60 animals prepped for surgery to get go out for adoption. So that's a lot of shots, a lot of spay and neutering, a lot of vaccines and deworming, and it can be pretty messy. And you got to get these guys all loaded up onto a van. We take them out to a spay and neuter clinic to get all fixed up and ready for adoption. So, yeah, it's Mondays, Tuesdays, those are kind of our busy, busy days.
Well,
so.
Never a dull moment, it sounds like, for you guys.
No, dull moments are not our business. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why I played the Ultimate Warrior theme, because, boy, you are the Ultimate Warrior on a daily basis, man. Holy cow. I mean, there's always an adventure. You've always got a good adventure to tell us about. Before you leave the studio today, you've got to tell us about the boa constrictor story. We'll get back to that in just a second. But I want to dive into something you guys got into this weekend. And I know you have events like this that pop up throughout the course of the year with volunteer and volunteer orientations.
Yeah.
What are you looking for specifically when you're looking for volunteers? Because I know you have a bunch of different age groups that fall under this as well.
Yeah, I really, we like to focus on families. We like to focus on children. I really, you know, I hate to say it. Children are our future. So, to me, that's a really important, essential part of what we do with our volunteer program is make it open to families. There are a lot of shelters that don't allow children to come and volunteer. And it did take some finagling with our insurance agency, which is awesome that they were really adamant about allowing this to happen. But having kids volunteer there, and I really feel like it's a really good touch with the charity work that can actually happen out in the community. And it's visceral. They can actually get in there, actually work, help clean, care for animals. We have this little girl, Brayden. She just did her birthday. She's a volunteer. She's just volunteered for a year with us. And as part of her birthday, instead of getting gifts for herself, she actually donated all her gifts to the shelter.
Wow.
She asked people to make donations. She raised $300 on her own and collected tons and tons of supplies, donations on behalf of the shelter. And this is an 11-year-old girl making that choice when most 11-year-old girls would want God knows what nowadays, an iPad or whatever else. She's asking for all these gifts for something else besides herself. So to me, it's this way of actually really connecting with an organization, which is sometimes very difficult for children to connect with. I mean, you can collect cans for a food drive, but you're not able necessarily connect with the homeless problem that's out there. But this gives them that stepping stone to actually realize how much they can impact their community and make a difference. So I really love seeing children come in there and volunteer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. It seems like it teaches them that responsibility for caring for a pet when they eventually get one. But as you tell us that story about the young girl who donated all their gifts to you guys, teaches them more than just responsibility with pets. It gives them life lessons, it seems, too.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important, that there's something bigger besides themselves, that they can be sort of part of something and actually have a voice and connect with it. And, you know, the ASPCA always shouts out there, we are their voice. We are. And, you know, we really put that into practice and allow these kids to actually, let's face it, they can use social media better than I can.
Yeah, sure.
By the time they're 11, 12 years old. And so they can share their stories. They can share their story. They can not only get an animal adopted, they can inspire other kids to get involved in their community and make a difference and make an impact. And it's huge. And it's amazing what these kids can do. You know, and You know, we have everything from Deliria. Football team and soccer teams get together and do fundraisers for us. And, you know, these are all kids that started as volunteers and feeling that connection and just, you know, wanting to be more involved and wanting to do something beyond that. So it's really, really cool.
Again, we're talking with Greg Willie of the Friendship APL here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And what I found cool, too, is that, you know, there's so many different ways for not only adults but kids to get involved, too. I know you guys are always looking for dog walkers. You're looking for different kinds of folks to come in here. And just, if nothing else, just donate their time.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of ways you can get involved. There's a lot of fun ways to get involved. So dog walking is one of them. Cat socialization. These are people that just come in and sit. We have these little rooms all over the place where they can come and sit and spend time with the cats and actually brush them, play with them, give them that kind of attention, because a lot of people want to walk dogs. We get a lot of dog walkers, but the people that spend time with the cats are really, really amazing as well. And, you know, it's funny because dog people and cat people actually kind of do break down into some of the stereotypes you would think of. And I joke about it all the time because my dog people are real social, right? They really get together. Like, we have a Wednesday night dog walking club. We trust our volunteers enough that we give them keys to our building to actually get in and out and actually come after hours. So we have this after hours group that come and volunteer. And then afterwards, they go out and go to the bars and hang out and have drinks and do all that stuff. And they're real social. My cat people have a tendency to be a little bit more quiet and introverted. And they just like to sit there and, you know, like I said, they'll just read a book in a room with the cat, let the cat curl up on its lap rather than that really kind of excited, fast-paced world on the dog side. So it's like a whole different world and a whole different vibe. And like I said, I always try to get those cat people to kind of come out of their shells a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
I'm like, usually I should start a book club and drink some wine and do this. And so, you know, I mean, the hard rockin' dog walkers, you know, with their, they really are. They call themselves the Muttley Crew. They have t-shirts that say the Muttley Crew on it.
Wow.
So, yeah, they really are a hardcore group of people. And they'll walk regardless of the weather. And we're there, you know, we have to take care of animals. We're there 365 days a year. So that means Thanksgiving morning, Christmas morning, New Year's Day, you're up there taking care of animals and let's face it, cleaning up poop every one of those mornings. So it is part and parcel of what we do. So it's fun.
Well, it's all part of the process, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you could just wave your magic wand and make that stuff go away. Well, you guys actually have an event coming up called Wheels for Wags. It's going to be in Avon this Saturday. What kinds of details do you have
for us? So it's at Avon United Methodist Church. You want to register early. I know there's a discount if you register your car early. This is a huge event. It started out with 80 cars. Last year, we had 220 classic automobiles. There's some awesome, awesome cars there. If you're really into some of the classic cars, which I am, we had a bunch of rat rods come out for the first time last year. Those converted old Fords where they strip it all down and have the big engines and they're all decaled up and it's just amazing. And I love seeing all those classic cars, the 1936 Fords with the Ford coupes with the suicide doors, and, you know, you can almost feel like you're in a gangster movie. It's really cool. So we've gone from, like I said, 80 cars to 220 cars. We have tons of baskets, prizes to win, food. We have a DJ. It is, at Avon United Methodist Church, which they let it park right on the lawn. And they have these big, you know, like oak trees there that give a lot of shade. So even on a hot day, it's really cool there. People love it. It's one of the become one of the top classic car shows in the community. We have people come from all over the place. We have people traveling now to come to this event from pretty far away, actually. From, you know, we had, I think, a couple of people from Indiana and Michigan come last year to bring their cars out there. That's how much this has grown. Everybody just says it's a super event. We give the little car plaques that you get to put in your classic car that you attended the event. There's tons of trophies given away for best cars and best in show. And we have, director's pick. I get to pick one of the cars every year. It's no surprise I picked the car that I usually say I could fit the most amount of dogs. It's a lot of fun. It really is just a lot of fun. It is something to behold when you see all these cars lined up and they have like Corvette row and you can go see all the, you know, it's from classic Corvettes to modern Corvettes, all lined up on one side, and it's just really amazing. It's all put on by JC Auto Body. Joyce Castrigano and her husband, Joe, they have really been supporters of us for years, and she actually goes out and traps cats in Elyria on the side, and helps us neuter and return them out there, and really incredible stuff.
Well,
And you guys are also going to be at the Frostville Doggone Fun Day Sunday in 2 weeks. Man, see, I love that name. That's very, very creative. Tell us all about that event.
So that's just going to be a fun adoption event. I think they have all sorts of crafts. It's a big fair and festival, so there's going to be a lot going on there. But we'll have lots of dogs for adoption, and it's just going to be a good time to come in, find out a little bit about us. Maybe if you're looking for a dog or a pet to adopt and add to your life, this is an event for you. So it's just going to be a really fun, interactive event.
Very cool. We can't let you leave this studio without telling us about that snake rescue story, because every time we have you on here, you always tell us a different story. I think the first time we had you on, it was at the Taste of Elyria, and you were telling us about how you had to wrestle an alligator to get it back.
Yep.
And then I think we had you on at the Best of Elyria, when you were telling us about how you rescued some horses, and you were working against the clock in order to get those horses rescued.
Yeah.
And as you were leaving, you said, oh yeah, by the way, I've got another story I got to tell you about rescuing a snake. So we've got some time. So how about the snake story?
It's actually multiple snakes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
So anyways,
braver man than I am.
I'm like Indiana Jones. That is my, it's not a phobia.
Yeah.
I know enough about snakes not to respect them, right? So what you basically need to know about, like, these big ball pythons, because one was a ball python, the other was a boa. And the ball python, I know one thing. I know that if it's eaten recently, the snake is very sedate. Well, the guy who owned these snakes was arrested. And the police department calls us out and says, hey, there's some snakes on this property. And I said, well, I don't do snakes. You can tell me X, Y, and Z. The snakes are not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
So he goes, well, someone's got to go get them. So I actually called an expert, a snake rescuer handler that I found on the internet, and I'm like, okay, this guy's like reptiles and more, and he does all this snake stuff, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, I need help with snakes. I'm like, I need you to come out, meet me at this address in Elyria, and see if you can help me wrangle these snakes. Guy shows up, and he comes in with pillowcases, and I look at him, and I'm like, what are those? And he's like, this is where I'm going to catch the snakes. I put the pillowcase over my hand, get the snake, and then I take the pillowcase off, and I'm like, don't you have those, like, I could have done that. I'm like, don't you have, like, those tongs or whatever to actually, you know, pin the snake down so you can make sure it doesn't bite you? And he's like, I've been doing this for years. I'm not worried about it. And I'm like, and I looked at him and I said, he's got the white pillowcases? And I'm like, dude, you should bring at least red pillowcases. And the guy meets to put his hand in the pillowcases and the snake. This guy must have gotten bit.
Jeez.
I don't even know how many times. 8, 9 times. He's jumping around. The snake's bit onto him, and he's waving around.
Oh,
and I looked right over at my other employee and said, that's why I don't do snakes. But, I mean, seriously, it's crazy. We work in a crazy field in a crazy world where everything is just constantly, like, at the edge of your seat. You just figuring things out. I mean, we got a call a few years back about an iguana in a sicko gas station bathroom here in Elyria. And I go, I spent my first 8 years working with dogs. So I'm kind of learning as I go on other animals. So stupidly, I just literally grab a leash and say, oh, I'm going to go get this iguana out of this gas station bathroom. So I go out there, and the woman's like, there's an iguana in the bathroom. Can you go get it? And I'm like, I walk over there to go get this iguana with the leash. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I put the leash around the iguana's neck. Of course, it doesn't move.
Yeah.
It doesn't walk on a leash. So I pick it up, and I start carrying it out. And the woman looks at me, and she goes, you know, you're bleeding.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what? And I looked down. See, I thought they have these, like, what look like really long fingers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, they're not fingers.
Oh,
those
wow.
are really, like, 4-inch long razor-sharp nails that cut like paper cuts, basically.
Jeez.
So I didn't feel it right away, but the snake had actually, or the iguana, it's like sliced me open like Freddy Krueger, and I'm bleeding all over the place and don't even realize
wow.
it as I'm walking out with this iguana. But, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy the stuff that you run into, and like I said, with the horse rescue, I'm so banged up. I always tell people I could actually reenact the scene at the bottom of the boat in Jaws. I could take those guys on any day of the week. Richard Dreyfuss has got nothing on me, and I probably can get him in the hair suit scene too, wearing a sweater. But I love what I do. I love that every day it's a surprise, and I'm going to run into something different, and I'm going to hear some new story and some new strange thing that I'm running into. And, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. One is it's a very sad world, and it's a very sad business, what we do. And, you know, I can cry the... I can sing you the In the Arms of an Angel, and I can do the Sarah McLachlan thing and tell all these sad stories. And to me, you know, I like to celebrate what we do and how we do it. You know, to me, I enjoy, and even in the saddest things you find, yeah, someone abandoned an iguana in a gas station bathroom.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I could tell that story from that angle. And, or, you know, you can tell the horse story and not in the terms of I lost all my toenails from the horse stepping on me and my rush to rescue it out of there in that instance. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm surrounded by a really amazing people. I'm surrounded by caring people. And someone wants, you know, I'll post something on Facebook, some sad story, and someone will say, oh, that's, you know, horrible, and people suck, and it's just a horrible world. And I'll look at them and I'll say, you know, for that one person who did that one horrible thing, I've got veterinarians who give their time. I've got, you know, I have a staff that really care and love animals. I'm surrounded by volunteers that help promote. I got people like you guys that care about animals and have us on and do all these things. And I'm like, so for that one bad person, I am surrounded by hundreds of really great and amazing people that really care about animals. And I said, and so what that always tells me at the end of every day is that for every one bad person, there are 100 great people out there that are giving time and donations and love and attention and, you know, to all these animals that we take care of. And, you know, it is a beautiful world, and it's not a bad world. And, you know, you can get bogged down in that so much out there, all the bad, and, you know, and just until it eats you up inside. And to me, I just rather laugh or to avoid crying, I guess. But yeah. I love laughing about this stuff. I love enjoying all the things that go on in this and, you know, seeing all this. I mean, you know, we had like these, you know, next time, maybe next time. I tell you about the Oberlin Fire Department tearing up this woman's yard to rescue kittens. I mean, it's crazy what we can have come together to rescue a life or to make a difference or to save something. I mean, there are so many great and inspiring stories out there that inspire me to keep going, that keep me motivated and pumped and just loving life. And that's what I do.
That's a great point of view.
Yeah, no, and these stories are incredible, man. When you started telling that story about the snake and how you got that snake charmer to come in with those pillowcases.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
What are you going to do, try and put these things to sleep? See, when I see somebody walk in with something like that, I sit there and I think, wait a minute. This is the guy we call. This guy's coming in with pillowcases. I mean, but like, how in the world does he make that work? How
he does it?
He doesn't make it work.
He doesn't. I watched in just stupefied amazement as this guy walked over there. And like I said, I looked right at my other staff person. I'm like, you should have bought red pillowcases because those white aren't going. That's a stupid idea. He's never going to get the blood out of those.
Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy to me. It's crazy because, like I said, I know enough to be respectful of these animals. I mean, I still get, you know, I still put myself in harm's way all the time with these things. But literally, I know, like I said, just enough to be respectful of all these animals, big and small. There's no difference. I mean, the worst bite I ever got, like a little Pomeranian, tore me the heck up. And I mean, so if, you know, you can... You know, you got to respect them all. You got to, and that's why I love working with these kids too, because you can teach them that kind of respect that you've learned over the years through, unfortunately, tons of scar tissue.
Happens. It's their battle scars, right?
Yeah. And I love it. I actually love it. I love all my scars. Each one tell a story, some story. You know, I'm sitting on a beach because it was my first vacation. We went out to the Outer Banks shortly after we went and rescued those horses, and I got no toenails on my toes. One of those horses, like a 2,000-pound racehorse just came down, thoroughbred racehorse came down on my foot and just...
Get you a few looks, I'm sure, on that one.
Yeah.
What happened to that man's toenails, Mommy?
Yeah, exactly.
You could tell people you were horsing around.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Don't horse around.
Yeah. Greg, this is awesome, man. Always a pleasure to have you, man. Always great to talk to you. And see, you gave us a nice little teaser. The next time we have you on, you got to tell us that story about the Oberlin Fire Department saving those kitties. So we'll save that one for next time.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks for coming to the studio. This is a lot of fun.
Anytime.
All righty, time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I come back after this on AM 930 WEOL.